Pod Tiger Tip Show, episode 58 for the week of April 10th, 2006.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
Welcome back, everybody. This is Fumo Jive, host of Pod Tiger, the unofficial Halo 2 podcast. We also have some guest hosts with us today.
I'm Quality Beverage.
And I'm Hungry Lexkin.
And this is the tip show, where we're going to kind of talk to you guys about how to level up and stay there, going through all kinds of tips that users submit on podtacular.com, and going to be starting off with a whole bunch of general tips, and then going into our map of the month, with which this month is coagulation. So we'll be going through all kinds of cool tips on that to get things going. So let's start it off. Starting off, getting into some general tips here, we have one from SV3P. Who says, I have a tip for snipers. If somebody's shields are down and they jump, don't look up at them. You might lose track of them. Wait until they're on your crosshairs or they're way down from the jump and then fire. Only use this for close-range snipers. That's kind of good,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I've had a lot of times where I'll look up at them and then I won't be able to look back down for some reason and then they'll kill me.
No, the thing is, if you have, like, your sensitivity on way low, that could be very bad because you couldn't look back down in time if you miss. But then again, while they're up in the air, they have the advantage and they could shoot you.
Kind of depends on the sensitivity, huh?
You know, mine's at one, so, you know.
Wow, you must snipe a lot. Well, we also got one from Ep Matswa, who says, in answer to JVB's question in episode 53... about random press X to boots on the 360 Halo 2 emulator, he says that emulator causes that. The code that gives the kill to the other team if you and an enemy are shooting one of your teammates doesn't work properly in the emulator. So if one of your bullets hits one of your teammates, it shows the press X to boot, even though it says you were killed by, you know, an enemy name. So for the little kids that don't get that, he says, don't boot people when it says you were killed by the other team in the top corner. He's lost several levels because of this. That's pretty wild, yeah. Dude. I'm still waiting on 360, man, until they fix some of these things. That's a major win, the Halo 2 emulation.
Yeah, I always hate when you, like, do know you haven't betrayed anybody, and all of a sudden you're just walking and says, sorry, but you've been booted from the game.
Yeah, it's happened to me a lot since the 360 came out. I guess that's why.
Yep. A lot of stuff happened a lot since the 360 came out, like fill the load, just, coagulation, for instance.
The little kids, they just, as soon as they see it, oh, I was betrayed, and just X.
Yeah. This kind of sucks. Okay, on to XX Immortal XX, who says, when dual wielding two SMGs, get rid of one of the SMGs, seeing that for some reason, he says it seems to deal more damage to your opponent if you're only shooting them with one SMG. I don't know about that. But he says you can throw grenades, of course, which does deal more damage to the opponent. Also, when dual-wielding two SMGs, find a plasma rifle on the ground and make it your secondary dual weapon, so you have an SMG and a plasma rifle. Due to the fact that this deals a lot more damage to your opponent than one or two SMGs do, and if both guns are reloading, press the B button to melee your opponent, which will finish them off, too. That's a good one. When playing a game of double team, you'll have one teammate, of course. Captain Obvious strikes again. It's best to stay with your teammates so if the other team are wandering off by themselves, you and your teammate will surely take your opponent down with no struggle at all. If your opponent starts to run away from you at the start of the game, ask them to stick together. I guess he means not opponent, but your teammate. And they will. If your opponent runs away from you, say, stick together.
I'm going to go back to the SMG thing. I mean, one SMG does not deal more damage than two.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck.
SMGs aren't meant for far range, but, like, there's a thing called alternate firing where you press the trigger and let go of it real quickly with the SMG. That makes the gun so much more accurate, you wouldn't believe.
I call that the poor man's BR. When you have just SMG and you're going against, you know, someone mid-range. Works kind of well, you know, as long as you get the first shot off, you might have a chance to even kill a BR guy, so. Geo. Alright, well, on to Apocalypse, who says, when you're being shot at from behind, continue running forward. throw a grenade at a wall next to you and turn and shoot while running backwards. Your bullets will lower their shields, and they'll keep you on. They will keep on you and run into the grenade, ultimately dying. You may die too, but you will get them out with you.
Suicide.
Yeah.
I love those grenades for you. Like, they get the first shot off you, like all your shields are down, and you have that one nade. And they're like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Boom, dead.
That's one where I recently brought my sensitivity down a bit, and now I'm getting back into using grenades off walls instead of trying to, you know, spin around instantly and shoot them, because even when I had my sensitivity high, I spun around and overspin, or I wouldn't be able to track them even when I spun right away. So, you know, this works better anyway.
Right.
All right. Well, on to Geza, who says, number one, if playing on maps with two bases directly across from each other on CTF, like Beaver Creek and Coagulation, have a sniper or someone with a strong weapon like rockets or something like that to follow and protect you. It's really good when you have the flag, or if you don't have a really good weapon, because with a flag, you can't really do any real damage besides close range. So have someone protect you and make it back until you make it back. You don't want to get... it says you don't want to get lucky, make it back to the base, and have someone melee you in the back and assassinate you.
That would suck.
Yes, it would. No fun at all. It says, if you're a player who likes to snipe, a.k.a. the sniper... Okay. What else is also known as? Try to camp near the sniper spawn, though, on that one, because this is important, because if someone gets a sniper rifle on their team, it's game over for a lot of you. Also, this will help you get more ammo, because you can just step over a few feet, and then you have full ammo for your rifle. And then you can go kill everything that moves.
Yeah, I don't know about staying on the sniper spawn, because that's, like, a lot of people love the sniper, and they go to them, so you keep getting constant people up on you.
And then you get the little kids trying to assassinate you to get the sniper back for them.
Yeah. They betray you. Oh, I'm better with it.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, but I just thought that, you know, might be kind of good. Maybe in some maps, I don't know. Maybe some and not others. Just because you are right next to the ammo. So maybe if you can find a close spot with a little bit of cover close to the, to the ammo, so in case you run out or something. May or may not.
Yeah.
I don't know, I don't snipe, so I was just thinking it might help somebody.
Definitely on Beaver Creek, you don't want to camp for the sniper spawns, because that's like a grenade, rocket hole, whatever. It's deadly.
Yeah.
No kidding. On to,
go ahead.
That was cool. On to G-Man, who says, in a sniper game, get your team to work together. If you work alone, you'll never get those follow-up kills by tracing the contrail back to the sniper who killed your teammate. If you're playing a BR game on the swamp level, the tree that raises off the ground is a great place to hide. If you have someone get on top of the tree and then to the right, and someone in the hole in the tree. Okay. Visual's not too good on that one. If you're playing a game on midship, stay in one room and let loose plasma grenades out the sides. If everyone can concentrate fire on someone going up the grav lift, they'll be dead before they hit the ground. And if you have the time, then move one of the space crates, the non-exploding variety, onto the grav lift, the tall way. If you put it on the side, then it will just go to the second level. But if done right, you'll only have to worry about two entrances. I'm trying to figure out exactly what he's saying on that. I guess he's saying you can block the lifts.
Yeah, you know how heavy those things are and how long it would take to move one of those, though?
Yeah.
You'd have to have rockets or something, huh? That'd
be a task alone in itself.
You'd take most of the game just to do that.
I guess that's what he's saying, like, take your whole team and get them to run over there and freaking have a melee party and whatever.
Start mowing the box.
You could just, like, you know, play normally.
Yeah, you could just do that. That's a good tactic there. Thanks.
But going back to is like shooting everybody the same person with the BR, that team BR, that will dominate. That is the one key to winning the game right there.
Yeah. Yeah. On to Dark Saiyaman, who says, on any level where you can fall off the edge, especially lockout, turn and throw a grenade, preferably sticky, back up over the edge since before you die. He said he's even gotten lucky enough to stick his friend in the face and remember hearing his screams before he died.
Those are the kills that you smile.
Those are the reasons you play Halo.
Yeah, totally. You know, I've never been able to stick someone with one of those, but I've heard stories of them. Someday, man.
Yes.
On to Soggy Longbottom. Pretty cool
name
there.
His name.
Yeah. I think he has another one called, like, I Eat Kittens or something like that. Anyway, for those of you who know to play or who play Team Snipers a lot, here's a few tips that may help you in matches. Lately, Waterworks has been a popular map for snipers, and everybody's primal instinct is to be the first in the middle just to try to take out those guys who come up, but this is the wrong thing to do. Usually games like this end up being very, very close, and this is not how you want your games to be. Spread your players around either of the two bases. Have two by the rocket spawn, like one on top and one on bottom, one near the Banshee spawn, and one near the left side caves. Make sure communication is kept up, and without communication, your team is nothing. Each team member is responsible for covering another, thus creating a cycle of protection, and the other team is likely to camp in the middle, so the Banshee man should watch carefully. Every so often, players should switch around in order to obscure your location.
Sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I think just sticking with your team is the main point there, and you get it.
Right.
Yeah. Do you guys play this game, Todd? Team Snipers?
Not often.
Every once in a while I get a Team Snipers and Waterworks, but that's, like, no fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Waterworks.
It's such a slow-paced game.
I bet. There's, like, so many places a sniper could be. It's, like, scanning.
Yep. You'll just be looking around and all of a sudden get sniped, and you're like, where the hell was he?
I hate that, dude. Even if it's not Team Snipers on Waterworks, it's a pain in the butt, you know?
Yeah.
You're, like, trying to run for the BR on top of the base, and as soon as you step out, you get shot. You're like, here we go again. Anyway.
Too many times for me to find that funny.
That's just not even funny anymore. Well, on to 24/7 Gamer, who says, there's a combo that I think is better than an SMG plasma rifle combo. If anyone still uses it, it's dual-wielding a human pistol and either a brute plasma or a regular plasma rifle. The brute plasma is better because its firing rate is faster. It helps because the pistol has a better range on it than any SMG. And after the enemy's shield is down, one or two headshots kills them quickly, but you just need to have a quick trigger finger to make the combo effective. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of have trouble with that sometimes because I tend to fire both at the same time just because, I don't know, maybe my reflexes aren't to where I just fire the plasma and then fire the pistol. But maybe if I get used to that, it sounds like it would work.
Yeah.
That combo is hard because the plasma, it's hard to hit somebody with that plasma if you're, like, medium to long range or whatever. But that, if, like, you're in a duels game, you always want a Covenant and a human. Covenant for the shield, human to kill him.
Right.
Yeah, it works great on close range, but, like, that plasma pistol, or the plasma rifle shots, man, those things are slow, and they don't track, so it's like, you know, they can dodge them fairly easily if they're at mid-range. So, I don't know. That's tough. I've heard some people say that, you know, it kind of a poor man's noob combo is plasma rifle and a BR. But that's the same thing, man. It's tough to get those guys mid-range, you know. I've been trying to, kind of recently, I've been trying to do the two plasma rifles and then a BR in backup, but then you got to hit Y twice, and if you hit it too fast, you'll end up with a plasma rifle again. So you'd be like, crap, and then, you're dead. So that doesn't work too well. But that seems like it would work well if you could get the timing down to where you could switch it, but who knows?
Right.
Another one to try anyway.
Yeah.
On to...
That's another reason to use a noob combo.
Yeah, totally. Noob combo you don't have to deal with all that crap if you got a noob combo. But then again, if there's no plasma pistol really on the map, or if there's just one on the map, somebody else got it, you make do with what you got, I guess.
Yeah,
exactly. I love the dual-wielding noob combo where you have the plasma pistol and the pistol. Just as good.
Oh. Huh.
It actually works pretty well. I've tried that before.
Sweet. Have you guys ever tried the two-person noob combo where you have one person with two plasma pistols, or even one, and then they fire the plasma pistol shot, you fire the BR, so you can both, reload at intervals, and that you can even carry, if you have two plasma pistols, you guys can take two people down pretty quickly without having to deal with reload times and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Pretty cool. Oh, got one from Nice Day 3 who says how to dodge a charged plasma shot that's coming right at you. He's talking about the dual-wielding one where you have two dual-wieldable weapons. When someone shoots a shot at you, you press the melee button to chuck away the second weapon and then, you know, deflect the plasma shot. But the thing is, it's hard to get the timing right. I've tried it and never been able to pull it off. So it's tricky. It's not just like you throw it and it's dead. You got to get it just the right timing. So Dialpex was telling me the other day, though, that you can chuck a grenade at the plasma bolt. Have you guys tried that one?
I've never been able to do any like sort of that where you block the plasma pistol.
Yeah.
It's just never worked for me.
I just run.
Yeah.
Yeah, get behind cover. Yeah. That works too. So he's saying also, you can get extra ammo in the battle rifle. There's this trick to do that. First of all, you make sure you have a full clip. When you come to fire your first shot, tap the reload button and continue firing as normal. And then when you get to about half clip, you should see that your ammo goes from half to full without a reload animation. He said it takes some practice to get it right, but it's great for Team Hardcore. Have you guys tried this one?
Yeah. That's just like the no reload glitch or whatever. It's just, you can't do it on host, you have to be off host. And it's just something that I guess tricks the game again. I don't know.
Okay. Cool. Well, I've done the I guess LYY or LXX, something like that. Yeah, that, I guess just the LX. And then, you know, that reloads while you're throwing a grenade, which is cool. And I've done the BXR on some of these, but this one looks pretty cool. If I understand right, you actually, do you save ammo, or do you just reload half your clip without the animation?
I think you just reload without the animation.
Yeah, it's just if you're in a firefight, you can get yourself back up to
a
full clip, so you don't have to wait for the time.
Nice. Well, that's good. That make you not have to reload, too, so maybe you can get that last shot in.
Exactly.
On to one from Chemo23, who says, when getting a sniper on this map, on Coagulation, that is, he says, I find it better for him, he finds it better for himself, trying to translate on the fly, he and his team to stay at the top of the base. A lot of people go through the teleporter, but then get owned by a vehicle or something else. And when you're at the base with a sniper, if you're getting shot, you can drop down as well as protect your base very well. Also, any game on this map that involves vehicles, or any game on this map does involve vehicles, so it's important to rush rockets. And right when the game begins, have someone rush rockets with a ghost and then take them back to your base. That probably should have gone later on in the map of the month area, but I put it in the wrong area, so there you go.
Oh, well, yeah. We forgive you.
But hey, you gotta go back up that ghost, guy. It's really hard just to run and get that rockets because you know there's always somebody on the other team going. Most of the time they're a little bit of a hog, too. It's just, that's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually a pretty close call, you know, to see who gets there first. But it just depends on who's can get in the Jeep without throwing a grenade at it and, you know, arguing over who gets to be gunner or
whatever.
That's annoying. Dude, I hate spawning on Coagulation. Someone always throws a grenade at the freaking Jeep as soon as you spawn. It's like, what are you doing? It's our vehicle. Dumbass.
I always get some weird excuse, like, oh, I'm making sure the other team can use it. Well, how are we going to use it now, right?
Yeah, okay, so let's hop in. Makes sense. Anyway, on to Renegade N, who says, some people don't believe the plasma pistol tracks when the reticle is not red and locked on, but it's not true. The plasma pistol locks out at a range that is a little more than the game thinks. This also goes for the needler, though it's kind of useless. So I guess he's saying it's not dependent on the reticle, it's dependent on the range.
Yeah. How close your, I guess, crosshairs are close to the person.
Right.
Okay. He says, when playing a sniper's game, also, it's not like a normal game, so there's no need to conserve ammo. So don't go for the near impossible headshot when two quick body shots will do. Because you can just you know, find ammo anywhere.
Yeah.
Good point. When driving a Warthog, make sure the gunner does not carry any weapons of value, as he or she is usually the easiest to kill or separate out of all the passengers. The same applies for the Spectre.
Yeah, I actually disagree with that. In most situations, the gunner is the last one to survive, I see.
Yeah, I think so.
The driver and passenger die, and the gunner's the last one left.
He has more cover, yeah. And then he can hop out and run.
Right. Yeah. It'll be good if he has a good weapon.
And it's easier for him to get out, too, because he can get out and the Jeep can keep going. If the driver gets out, the Jeep stops and everybody's screwed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Huh. He also says, play team games with friends. It's much easier to play with a group of friends who you have built a playing style with, people whose talents you understand, than a player who just ended up in a matchmaking game. Plus, you have quitters.
Also, you don't get the D rankers. I hate D rankers.
Well, you still get them, they're just on the other team.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing.
Exactly.
Just not on your team. That sucks.
Yeah. At least in customs, you don't get D rankers. That's why I play lots of customs now. So, Fluffy sends one in. He says, hey guys, okay, when you're going to get run over by a ghost or a warthog, make the person who's going to run over you think that he or she will, but here's what you do. Here's what you do. Well, Frist, make sure you have plasma nades. Jump up and chuck a nade at the ghost, and it will most likely stick them. If not, okay, seriously, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about right here. He's like, if most likely stick them, and not Ollie will you. Oh, okay. Not only will you live, but you'll get a kill along with it. Man, Fluffy, man. Wow, spell Fluffy. Check. It's the way of the future, man.
Yeah. Spell check on Podtacular.
Yeah. Go figure. Well, let's see here. We've also got one from Terminator Llama, who says, I have a really good general tip for you. This works with any weapon. Okay, so when the fight gets close and you have to use a melee crouch, shoot at them, and then when they get close enough, start whacking them while you're still crouching. Since you're crouching, your hits will be easier, while they'll miss and not be as effective. He says he's killed many sword guys close range like this. Once you get it down, you'll be beating people down without shields. That sounds pretty cool. I guess that can be used in a similar way to the way the BR, like you crouch periodically to try to avoid the headshots that they're aiming at.
Yeah.
That usually works with the BXB. Like, your first one hits, and if they're meleeing, sometimes it goes right over your head and doesn't hit you.
Yeah.
Hmm. Sweet. Well, we got one from Norby3, who says, one of the things he recommends for people to get better is to make sure you're proficient in the most common starting weapons, like the SMG, BR, and plasma rifle, etc. Also, he says to make sure you know how to handle an enemy with a better weapon than you with only an SMG. For example, a player wielding a sword can be easily beaten by someone with a single SMG if they know what they're doing. In close quarters, he says if he runs into a sword, he tries to run around in circles and fire at their head. So not only do they does it blur their vision, but you're moving at all times and can't be lunged at easily.
Yeah.
Also, one thing he's noticed is on maps like Lockout, when there is a sniper up high, somewhere like the spawn point, you can use dual needlers as an anti-sniper weapon. Just fire half a clip of each, and then get behind cover before they reach their target, as it keeps you safe, and the sniper explodes before he knows what's happening, if he'll stay in one place.
Yeah.
Which he probably won't, because he's probably a smart sniper.
Yeah, really.
My tongue is not working today.
Stupid tongue.
Yeah, we had an argument last night, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He's gonna get a divorce with me.
What's that?
My tongue is getting divorced.
Your tongue's gonna divorce you? Oh, you're married to your tongue now. I see how it works. Well, XXUnforgivenXX talks about keeping your level. He says, truly cheating is a very big problem. When it comes to the mass cheating population on Xbox Live, it almost makes it impossible to play on weekends and weeknights. He said he's found that when you reach level 28 to 35, the best times to play are from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Cool. He says also, play in parties of 2 to 3 gamers. This takes out you getting stuck with lower level people, and you always play better with people you know. I don't understand, why not the 4 gamers?
Yeah.
I guess he's saying parties of 2 to 3 other gamers. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. But my way of keeping cheaping out, and this has worked, hasn't gone against me since, but you always get boxes when you get in the matchmaking. That means, like, when we go from step 1 to 2, it shows you at the top and the 4 boxes underneath are empty. Because bridgers, what they do, they have to get that, it's called screen host, and that's just one step of bridging. That eliminates, like, all of them. I mean, you won't, and also, you can listen to your Xbox if you have the old one. Me, I don't have 360. But, it makes different noises. You gotta learn them when it's loading a newer map, so that eliminates all modders. There you go. No more cheating.
Sweet. Yeah, I heard that a while back. I mean, is the difference, like, you have to jam your ear up against the Xbox, or can, like, you hear it?
You can hear it, like, just having it, like, in a foot range, it just makes a totally different sound than when it's loading one from the disc. Huh. Like, you can hear it loading from the hard drive, basically.
Sweet. Well, cool deal.
Give that a shot.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out. Let's see here. On to Crazy Killer, who talks about some host advantages here. Why don't one of you guys read this off? We'll just switch it up a little bit here.
All right. Waxigan, you want to do this, or you want me to take it?
All right, I'll get host advantages. Grenade jumping is when the host can jump longer distances by, like, the explosion of the grenade. You also get increased damage, usually when you're in a battle rifle duel. If you shoot, like, one person shooting the other, the host usually wins because it registers. You have increased auto-aim, so that means, like, if your reticule's directly not on the person, it still maybe curves at them a little more, hits them. The noob combo is also more useful because you have a faster connection, and for some reason he says not like that's a good thing.
Oh man, he has not seen the light yet.
Yeah. Alright, host disadvantages. When facing a player with host, when you throw a plasma grenade at them or try to melee them, sometimes the stickies bounce off or the melee doesn't register. Also, the host cannot do certain super bounces or get out of some levels, which can be a good thing. Occasionally, when facing the host in a battle, a shot doesn't register. Like, even though blood is smeared over the wall, it is very annoying in shotgun games. Also, when you charge up your plasma pistol, the green glow disappears, and you have to charge it up again. Players will sometimes abuse hosts who stand by or mod.
Yep.
Going back to the grenade jumping and the host advantages, I don't really see that as a host advantage because sometimes it'll just launch me right off the level and, like, unlock out, and you just get fall onto the bliss.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, which is never good.
Grenade gems sometimes kind of, you know, helpful if you don't have someone to stand on their head, but for the most part, if you can just stand on someone's head, you can do the same thing, you know?
Right.
So, but of course that takes one other person to work as a team with, and
if you don't have a party, that's not
sometimes even big team you can't find one person to work as a team with, so it's like
you find anybody to work as a team with.
Yeah.
Like, host is like a major
on to Immortal 3, who says, for all those noobs out there who are wondering how to get Bungie.net next to your name, just go to Bungie.net, make a profile using your gamer tag, go to My Settings, then go to Web Settings, then turn Show Bungie.net User Status in Halo 2 to on. So, yeah. Some of you guys are like, oh, so noob. But, like, dude, I get that question so often.
Yeah.
How do you get that next to your name? Oh, you don't know that yet.
You're so cool, Fumo. I love you.
On to Neo the Savior, who says, first of all, the worst thing is to go into Team Slayer alone. Make sure you have at least one person in your party that you're confident you'll do good with. Second of all, box host, like you were talking about, is always good for higher levels to prevent mods, and also beware of boosters. If you've been boosted off of once, wait a few minutes before you go back into matchmaking. Also, Team Duels is becoming a big game type in Team Slayer. Make sure you get the SMG plasma rifle combo that thing owns. And during Team Slayer, during Team Slayer BR, stay together. That's the key. Pick off targets one by one. Also on elongation, he's just going all over the place here. On elongation, Team Slayer BR, someone should be at one ramp as to BR headshot people from across the map. He said he's gotten a triple kill from this, and he says, I have more, but I don't want to take up your time.
Okay. Well, thank you, Neo.
Yes.
Much obliged.
We appreciate that.
All right.
On to our map of the month, which this month is Coagulation, and we got all kinds of tests for Coagulation here, mostly in the area of Team Slayer and CTF / Assault, which, you know, pretty much every game type is played in those areas. So, yeah, this is the awesome CTF and Assault game right here, so.
This is the map for CTF and Assault. Or Zanzibar, I guess. Yeah. But
or snipers. For
I'm that rambling.
This is a big team battle map. It's,
yeah.
Like, I almost get to say, like, every other game. This and Relic.
Yeah, don't play much of this on Rumble Pit.
No.
Well, okay, let's start off with one from Total Sacrifice, who says, first of all, he sent us an important web resource, but he didn't actually send us the web page. So he just said, important web resource. He says, this is a list of all the weapons and power-up respawn times for all the maps. Weapons and power-ups, overshield and camouflage, all respawn on a timer, but it's not as simple as that. In every level, there are weapons that are special because they don't come back if a player has them. For example, the sword on every level does not respawn if a player has it. The same goes for the sniper rifle on Lockout or Coagulation. So thanks for the non-web resource there. But I'm sure you guys can find that if you just do a little Google search in there. Okay, so he says, map control is very important on Coagulation. The two sniper rifles are considered power weapons, thus they don't respawn if a player is holding them. A team with both snipers and rockets can dominate on this map. He calls it complete map control. So on Slayer, he says, FFA Slayer is generally not a good idea for Coagulation if you're intending to play a serious game. For obvious reasons, because it's huge. Even Team Slayer is a bad idea. A team with complete map control won't have to hole in their defense and will never be taken out. You may take out one player, but you'll be BR'd, rocketed, or sniped by the others. And don't even bother driving these now useless vehicles at that point. So he says he stresses us with all his friends, use your mics, communicate. If you make sure all your teammates are aware of what's going on, who has rockets, who has a sniper, who has power-ups, and if the power-ups are respawn and all that, you're sure to do well, unless all of you can't aim straight.
In which case, you shouldn't be playing Halo.
Pretty much. Or lower your sensitivity. Also, use those power-ups, and if you're in enemy territory, crouch walk so you won't be detected. Avoid talking as well. The proximity speak still works. Yeah, seriously, I've been playing this game for how long, and I still don't understand exactly how the white button works. It's kind of like the communicator on Star Trek. You know, like, sometimes they would just, like, talk into the communicator, and they'd be like, computer, tell me what the square root of 57 is, or something. And then other times they have to hit the thing, you know, like the little, and then, like, talk into it. And then other times they'd press a button, and other times, like, the computer would talk to them, and it's just totally random. They just kind of pick a way to communicate. And I feel like it's the same way with the white button. Can you guys, like, help me out on this?
The white button is basically like a radio to your teammates. You hit that, all your teammates can hear you, hear what's going on. But at the same time, it's like if you're talking in normal life, anybody around you or close to you can hear you in proximity.
But what I don't understand is sometimes all my teammates at very long distances can hear me without the white button, and sometimes they can't.
This dude can talk loud. Proximity in this game is, its range is long.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of how far the proximity is?
Yeah. I guess so. It's pretty confusing, I think.
Because it seems like, you know, on headlong, I can be at one person can be at spawn, I can be at bomb plant, and I can talk to everybody. And other times I have to use a white button, I'm so confused by it.
You also can hit up on the D-pad and it does the same as the white button.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but then you have to stop moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah, only look that way. But I guess they did that so that, you know, otherwise you have to take a hand off the, a thumb off the melee button, jump button, all that stuff. So whichever one's most convenient. For doing some confusing thing, which we don't know. So we're probably going to get all this email, and, oh, you're such a noob, you don't know what the white button does. I mean, I know that it's supposed to be for TeamSpeak. I've heard this, you know, for quite a long time. It just, it, for some reason, it seems inconsistent in that. But anyway. Okay, I digress. On to Phantom Get, who says, in Slayer, there's sniper rifles located at the top of both bases next to the teleporters on the right side. Use those well. Also, there's shotguns in the rock formations outside the base, along with more sniper ammo. And the noob combo is he says, Iwasi. Okay, what is that? What is Iwasi? What the hell, dude?
Iwasi.
If you're going to misspell something, at least misspell it so we can understand what the misspelling means. I guess it means easy, but then again, it's not really. Okay, yeah, I'm just going to skip right to the next one, dude, because I don't understand what the
heck. You can't even misspell anything the right way.
I know, if you're going to misspell something, misspell it right. Okay, I'm just moving right on to lead poisoning, because, which is a gamer tag, by the way. I'm not actually moving on to lead poisoning, because...
About to call the police.
Yeah, we're going to cut this show short today, and, yeah, you guys can carry on without me. No, okay, so lead poisoning says his tip for coagulation is to always rush the other team's sniper at the beginning of each game. Do this no matter what. Load up on a Warthog and go straight to their base and get their sniper. Don't worry about getting the bomb and a neutral bomb right off the start because you'll usually just die and blow up your Warthog. Also, make sure to never lose your sniper. And if you have your team's sniper, never go far away from your own base no matter what. Because if you want to snipe their team at the base, then get their team sniper. Yeah, that's kind of redundant. Make sure you always have control of at least once. Okay, he's just like running around in circles here.
Yeah.
Okay, make sure you have the sniper, get the other team sniper, and no matter what you do, get your own sniper and the other team sniper. But whatever you do, don't go too far from your base so you have the sniper. Maybe he does have lead poisoning.
Basically, just stand at a perfectly equal distance between the two snipers.
Yeah, and just...
Then you'll be doing it halfway right, either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe double halfway right is equal to one right? I don't know.
What?
You're halfway right to both sides, but okay, never mind. On to WrestleMe677, who says, a tip for Coag on Team Slayer, big team battle, and or 6v6. First off, in order to win any Team Slayer game, you have to work together as a team. After your initial spawn of the game, everyone must gather in a group, and don't be running off alone. Try to get the power weapons on the map, at least one sniper and rockets if you can get it, and then just camp in one area of the map. The teleport exit in front of the cave is a good place for the reason that it's right at rocket ammo, and is close enough to the sniper ammo. This area is also good for if you don't control the rockets, and they have all the vehicles running around after you. If they follow you into the cave, then it's a close encounter where they have less mobility and are easily destroyed with your whole team in the area. Even if you're losing in the game, just stay close together and use your numbers to overpower your opponents. This tip works for just about any map on Slayer. Just keep your cool, and you will be just fine. So how does that change for long range? You guys clue me in here.
I am trying to decipher it here, just depending.
Yeah.
Okay, basically he's saying work together as a team. Find a place, camp in that area, use that as kind of a base point, and so you can concentrate your fire on anybody that's coming at you from different directions and such. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm trying to figure out... you guys seem to be a little bit more into long range than I am. I'm like, I stay away from long range at almost all costs. So... I mean, how does this change between that concept of sticking together and like camping in one area and defending that area in a Slayer type game between long range and short range? You know what I'm saying?
Really? I mean, you'll have one guy doing long range to keep an eye out for everything else, and everybody else is just protecting him. That's how I would usually do it for camping in one spot.
Okay.
Usually, like you camp an area that's near, like. Somewhere weapon spawns, you want to control that area so you camp there.
Right.
Okay. Okay, cool. Alright, well, on to Renegade N, who says snipers own coagulation, but only at certain distances. Remember, a sniper rifle is a long range weapon, but if an enemy is so far away that you need to mail the bullets to them, don't shoot. Most likely miss and possibly get lost in the mail, which would be bad.
That would suck.
You might get a Netflix movie instead or something. Communicate. You have the headset for a reason. Even if your allies are not talking, you can still give them info, even if they're going to give you nothing, because they're punks. Noobs. Also, for COAG, remember, having the rockets is a 2-for-1 deal. Sweet. You get access to all the vehicles and rockets themselves, that is, unless you're playing a Human Slayer game. In Human Slayer games, the brute shots on the cliffs are basically rocket launchers.
Yeah.
Do you need a coupon for that? Just for the 2-for-1?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'll mail it to you with my bullets.
Nice.
On to Terminator Lava, who says, "Hey, Bob Tector, I have an assault tip for coagulation." Okay, first off, grab the bomb and head for the other base. Thanks. Awesome. Okay, so he has more. Good, good. Good thing. Once you get there, walk up the walkway and get on the base. Okay, it's like walk up the way. Then get the rest of your team to charge into the base through the sides. While the opposing team is trying to take out your team, you drop through the glass window and arm the bomb. Wow. What a tip. Okay, on to one from Man03. Who says, "I have a good tip for the sniper. First of all, make sure the best person at sniping on your team gets a sniper rifle." Oh, man. That's tricky sometimes. Because you can't just, like, you know, you can't just, like, jack the sniper rifle off of someone. You have to betray him first, so.
Hey, Halo 3.
Yeah.
We'll text him Jack sniper rifle.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We need that sniper jacking feature. That'd be cool. You're just, like, grabbing them out of each other's hands, and you're, like, pulling them back and forth, and then goes in, like, mosey bolt down. My sniper! Anyway, he says, so make sure the best person gets a sniper, then the sniper should get the ammo by the shotgun in front of the base, then the sniper should go to the cave on the side of the map, and from there on, he should look for the opposing sniper and kill him. Then your sniper should inform someone on your team to go and retrieve the gun. Then you have both snipers. Basically, you own the map. Yeah. Alright.
Yeah. Thank you, Mega Man.
No comment. Okay. On to... I have absolutely nothing to say about that. Alright. On to MJ2027, who says, "First of all, get the Banshee. It is unstoppable and great for any game type, especially CTF. It gets you to the base faster." Number two, he says, hold Y when you approach a vehicle that is driven by an enemy like Warthog, Ghosts, or Banshees. It's kind of hard, but it works most of the time. Okay, what's hold up with that?
X.
Yeah. Switch your weapons until they stop the vehicle.
Yeah, really. That's it, I'm going to switch weapons on you.
No, don't do it, please.
I'm going to fire, I'm just going to switch. Don't make me switch. I'll do another one here. He says, get the dual SMG combo or the plasma pistol SMG combo. It's kind of newbie, but it works. And when you're playing CTF and half your team is defending and half your team is going for the flag, like, okay. Yet another poorly worded tip.
Yeah.
And on to another one here. Yeah.
Proofy, because, people.
If you guys don't like those, send in better tips. Be nice. On to Clan X, who says, "Team Slayer, find a base, stick with it, make them come to you. Nuff said."
Best wow. Tip so far.
Simple, easy. I like it.
Great. Clean, effective, nice. All right.
But what if you choose the wrong base?
Yeah.
Yeah. Try to stick with your own base, especially if it's an objective game. Also, got one from XBS13 who says, "The perfect sniper spot is on the side of the mountain opposite the cave near the blue base. A little balcony-like spot with a cover. It's only accessible by Banshee or by Ghost, by the way. It performs to snipe. It's perfect to snipe there until now because, well, now everyone will look there." I think people know about that one, XBS.
Yeah.
He disproved his own tip.
Yeah.
He basically told us it and then told us it was useless.
Nice. All right, so you guys are getting all kinds of great tips from this show.
My game is improving.
Yeah. Okay, on to, hopefully this will be better, Legend RKO.
I read this one earlier. It's not.
Okay, we'll skip that one then. Man, we're like 0 for 6 here. Okay, hopefully we can get a better betting average.
Maybe he got something good.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay, he says, well, in big team battle on this map, the most action usually takes place in the first 30 seconds when each team rushes the rockets. Usually the ghosts will zip ahead and attempt to go to the rockets, and the hoggles show up for a little later. He says he usually hops on the banshee and then rushes the middle, also giving his ghost and hog good air support. If the enemy rush works out and they get rockets, it'll still float around and get the rocket guy to waste at least two rockets at him while he barrel rolls and loses them. Now that he has to reload, it's good to use this time to fill him full of plasma. It's pretty cool. Good way to do it. Another strategy in Assault is taking advantage of a glitch where the bomb guy stands in front of the rocks in front and to the left of the base. If viewed from the roof of the base, and then hitting him with the Warthog. Okay, yeah, the Warthog launch here. If done correctly, the bomb guy will fly all the way to the enemy base where he can start arming and make enemies totally go WTF.
I never can get that launch right.
Yeah, I've never done it. I've tried it so many times.
I've done it in customs, but I've just never done it in matchmaking.
It's hard to get people to work together like that.
It's hard to get people to work together ever, you know. So, especially in matchmaking, I guess especially if you don't know anybody.
Yeah, I only play with. I have people who come over to my house to play split screen, and like even we can't work together.
Yeah,
we still get people betraying each other and pretty crazy people.
You know it's bad when you have a LAN party and you still can't work together. Well, he mentions in the lower levels of Big Team Battle, the other team usually leaves a few teammates on their base for defense. In the higher levels, everyone usually goes out on their own. Anyway, they sometimes like to hide behind the walls to the left or the right of the flag spot and can be easily taken out with a few frags bounced off the wall. That's true. Because those guys, man, if you don't watch out for them, they can take you out right while you're trying to arm, and you got no backup, and you're screwed. Definitely. But I've used a couple times in there, like when guys pop around from that corner, and I'll just, like, if it's on Assault or something, on Coag, I'll be in the arming area with a bomb and just crouch down and melee him a couple times, take him out, and then it's home free, you know? That works like a champ. Because of the extra power on the bomb and everything. On to Cowman9, who says the number one thing on this map is, with Assault or Capture the Flag, is to stay together. Many times in matchmaking, if you can get your team to be a team, you can win. Also, travel along the walls. This provides more cover in the caves and rocks and trees, keep your team alive, hidden, and safe from the threat of snipers. Also, master the battle rifle, of course, is very common on Coagulation. Yeah. Okay. He says also, go ahead.
There's the sticking together again. It's teamwork. It's hard.
It is way too hard on matchmaking.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, how's someone, you know, I guess the only way you can kind of improve that is just to get your team together beforehand and be like, you know, look, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
If let's stick together and let's just kind of make a little pact here to work together as a team. You know, especially since we're in big team, you're going to go up and into objective games and such.
Yeah, exactly.
So, might as well. Okay, I'm going to skip ahead to the CTF assault tips and start on those. Start off with Total Sacrifice again, who says, the rocket launcher is very important. At the beginning of the map, you should rush the rocket launcher and bomb if on assault. Every second counts. If you get there first, pick up the rocket launcher with at least two teammates' help. You take out the opposing players, which usually consist of Warthogs, Ghosts, and/or Banshee, and you can immediately create a hole in their defense and rush the base for a guaranteed flag capture or bomb plant. This can backfire if you're not too careful. The enemy can take out your team instead and leave your team at a disadvantage. But regardless, it wouldn't be wise to allow the other team to rush the middle and just pick up the rocket launcher and bomb if on assault.
Right. That's not good.
Yeah. That would be bad. The Warthog is important also. Anytime after the beginning of the map, be careful with using your hog. Make sure you communicate with your teammates so you're aware of who has which weapons, such as the Warthog destroying the rocket launcher. For defending a base in either objective game, complete map control, like he's talking about, works beautifully. You barely have to work at all. Just make sure you keep picking up the sniper rifle ammo in front of your base, at the rocks where the shotgun spawns. And Rocket Ammo is constantly respawning by both red and blue team teleporters. I think that's his patented complete map control, where you get the sniper, both snipers, and the rockets. Sounds good.
Sounds like some kind of gimmick or something for a new...
I know, sounds like a trademark or something.
Complete map control technology.
Yeah, really. On to Mr. Gamer, who says, here's one tip I love doing on CTF game types. I call it the paratrooper tactic. First, fill your teammates in on the plan. Have them get a Warthog and Ghost and wait outside of the base, ready to help you out or grab the flag if you happen to die. And then take your Banshee, quickly fly over their base, and press X to get out, falling right in through the hole in the roof. Then catch them by surprise. Yes, that's right, surprises. Two R's, he says. Dude. I mean, we're reading this on the air. You can leave the punctuation stuff out. You grab the flag and run down the little hole to the underneath, where you have your teammates waiting to help you out. And from there, you can hop into the Warthog, drive away when the person in the Ghost is covering you. Okay, this is like kind of a noob tactic, basic technique that just never works anymore. Don't you guys agree?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, you pull that Jeep in there, people are just going to drop down, take out the Jeep, and then it's just, then you're going to have to okay, what do we do without a Jeep? So.
Yeah.
That generally doesn't work. Yeah, so we got some good ones there. Let's move on to just kind of some stuff that we just have some kind of general conversation about what works well and what doesn't on this map. Why don't you start us off on that?
All right, well, I think I know it's been said already a million times. It's just to get the sniper. I mean, because it's a longer map. It's not so much with the width. So you just want to stay at one end, preferably at your base if it's a team game. And if you're a sniper, do what you're good at, you know? If you're not a sniper, don't snipe. And if you are a sniper, snipe. Don't go into close-range battles if that's not what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to improvise here.
Okay, what are some... We've covered some pretty basic CTF strats here. Let's get into some, because there's a lot of cool ways you can do some CTF stuff in here that works.
Yeah.
You want to cover a few of those real quick?
Sure. So this is CTF. I think... Again, you just got to stick together, and I know it's tough to do. So if you absolutely have to solo it and just go by yourself, which is probably going to be the more common case if you're playing matchmaking, is just to be careful, you know, don't just run out in the open. Know where your teammates are, even if you're not with them. And just try to coordinate with them as best you can, because they're just going to be doing random things. So just try to get there when they get there, and do your best to keep the game in control without controlling your team, which... it's usually pretty tough to do.
No doubt. I'll just go through a couple of them here real quick. First of all, the major one is the one where you cruise in with the Jeep and get underneath and then hop up through a teleporter, grab the flag, try to throw it down to the Jeep, and then take off from there. Of course, we already talked about that. It doesn't work too well, generally, because Jeep gets blown up. And then you have to wait till the Jeep respawns, which is forever. So... don't recommend that one, but there are a few other ones that work well. For kind of intermediate players, there's the one where you grab the flag, jump down to where you go up the go out of the bottom and then up the walkway up to the top, and then head through the teleporter. Take that out to where you have the Jeep camped on the other end of the teleporter, so they can drive you away as soon as you grab the flag and hop in the passenger seat.
Yeah,
right,
I actually
there.
Use that a lot. It's really good.
It works well if you can if you can get that. But there's another way that I found that works well to get the flag out there faster. Is it takes another person at the base, but basically one person hangs out on the top, and then the guy grabs the flag, jumps up, and throws it up to the person on top, and then he goes through the teleporter and then gets in the Jeep, which is great. But then another thing too is that even if you don't have that second guy there, a lot of times you'll jump down and there will be guys there waiting for you. And this takes a little practice, but if you can jump down, grab the flag, jump up, and throw it on top, it can get right over the lip so it's on top of the base, which is great because it's harder for them to defend that than it is for them to defend inside the base, because you can get a sniper trained on top of that base and you can take out anybody that's trying to defend that area while you got guys running up there to just cruise up the side and, you know, grab the flag exactly. and jump through the teleporter. You don't have that far to go. You only have less than, like, 10 feet to go to get the teleporter, so you can take it a lot farther across the map.
Yeah, I think that's actually the main goal of any CTF game is if you have the flag, if you've got the flag, don't worry about killing people. Just get it out of its safe zone where the other team can protect it on any map. You know, just if it's burial mounds, get it out the window. If it's Zanzibar, get it out of the base. Just get it away from where they can safely secure it.
Definitely. And there's always kind of a there's kind of a safe zone that you can get it to on pretty much every map. Like, for instance, Headlong, as soon as you get it outside the building, you know, they're screwed, pretty much.
Totally.
So, kind of like this, you know, once you get it a safe distance from the base, well, once you get it out in the open, it's really hard to defend while you have guys in the general area. So.
Exactly.
Another thing to do, though, is to hop in and grab the flag and then run out the front to where you just run right around the corner, run out the front of the base, have a guy pull up to the front, and pick you up right there. Well, if you have a really good hog driver, they can just pull up, they can power slide to where they get right where the passenger seat is right up against the door. You can just hop in and take off.
That would be great.
Yeah, have you ever seen that happen? Dude, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm just imagining it now. That would be just amazing.
It's tough to do, but if people, you know, practice a little bit with the power slide, they can get it just right to where they can just, you know, hit the L trigger and just swing right around all the way to the door, and it's just perfect. They just take right off from there while the guy's getting in, you know. It's pretty sweet. So sometimes take a few shots, but it's no big deal. So, and that's the thing, you know, once you get it in the Jeep, you got it all the way. Another thing is, too, is hopping on top of the Banshee, and you know, Banshee riding. Have you ever been able to pull this off in matchmaking?
Never. I've never been able to pull it off, like, anywhere.
Me neither.
I've really tried in customs, but I've given it a shot in matchmaking, and it's just not... I don't think it's easy enough to be practical at all.
Another thing is, I mean, you're like... It's kind of like you're a glowing orb in the air saying, shoot me, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, come on, there's snipers on the map. You got a controllable sniper, so otherwise it's a total waste of time.
And with you on it, the Banshee can't dodge at all or anything, so you're a sitting duck for snipers.
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, if you get in range of a BR guy, it's just as bad.
Exactly.
I mean, it can't damage the Banshee, but, you know, they can... You're in the wide open, and you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I've had, you know, a lot of people tell me about that and show me it sometimes, but I've only heard about it being done successfully. I've never actually seen it be... Every time I've seen it done, they get sniped right off of it or something, and it's just like, well, that kind of sucked. You know, it's like a glitch. It's like, cool, but you can only do so much with it. It doesn't really help, yeah.
Exactly.
So, I don't know, maybe some of you guys can do that, that's cool, but, whatever. Anyway, so there's that. I've also heard of people, somehow pulling off a ghost ride, where they can ride on top of the ghost for a short distance. Man, I've never been able to pull that one off.
Yeah. That just sounds impossible.
Especially in Coag, man, you got all those bumps all over the place. I mean, forget it. Forget about it. Another thing, too, is, someone was mentioning that, you can hop out of the Jeep while it's going, and you'll actually go. You'll be carried with the momentum of the Jeep for a little ways, and sometimes it'll help you get back to your base a little faster when you have the flag, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so. That I actually did do that once, right into the door of the enemy base. We started driving.
Sweet.
And I was in the passenger seat, and I got out and just flew right into the door.
Nice.
It wasn't really an advantage or anything, but it was cool.
Sometimes it'll help you clear a little bit of distance in a shorter time, so that's something.
Yeah.
But it might help on, especially when you're taking it back and you're getting followed or whatever.
Exactly.
Another one, too, is being able to flip or roll, rather, with a Banshee, and then you press X to hop out of the Banshee. As you're rolling, you'll go really far with that if you do it properly. The thing is, I have trouble with the timing on that.
Yeah.
So I've never been able to pull it off just exactly right to where you really go a really long distance. But I've seen, you know, videos where people can go across like a third of the map in almost an instant with that. So
yeah, I've never even heard of that. I'm going to have to give that a shot sometime.
Yeah, it's like you roll and exit at pretty close to the same time. So so you just go flying sideways. Like, wait, you can go... I've seen ones where they go right... They're like... you know, a third of the way across the map, right? So they roll and then fly out, and they go right into the front door of the base. They just phew, right in there. And then I see another ones where they go right through the top hole, you know, and hop right in. So that's pretty cool. Speaking of which, that's like a good way to combine is to pull the Banshee up top, fall out, grab the flag, and then throw it on top of the thing, because you're taking them by surprise. So sometimes even if they have their entire team in there, you know, you can pull that off a lot easier than you would be able to walk up the side of the base and then sneak up and, you know, deal with all that crap. But
yeah, actually a good one is to, if you're in the Banshee and you're going to where it is, to actually fly the Banshee into the hole.
And you
get out and you grab the flag and you actually jump on top of the Banshee and then out on top of the base.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, wow. I've done it a lot. It actually works pretty well.
Cool. I've never heard of that one before. That's cool. You know, another good one is I used to use this all the time, but I got sabotaged by my own team all the time, is where you get either the Ghost or the Banshee. You know, obviously you can only get one, and sometimes you can't even get that because everybody's hogging it and stuff. But you, if you get, like, the Ghost, you can pull it, you can get it inside of your base. It's kind of tricky because you have to pull up the back of the base on one of those ramps, and then you have to go across that little lip between that and the door, and that the geometry for that lip, there's like a gap, so it's like your ghost just wants to fall into this little gap, but you just gotta like work it a little bit and you can get it in there. You can get the ghost inside the base. And once you get around
Halo
there... get in through the back door, right? You just pull it in there, pull it around the corner, and then back it into the hole where they can, you know, where the exit is, because, you know, there's the lift and then there's the other side, there's the hole. So back it into that, get it all wedged in there, and then hop out. And it doesn't completely stop it, but like 80%+ of the way, it clogs up the hole, so they have trouble getting out. Most of the time, they'll try to get down there, and they'll get all stuck, and they'll be like, WTF. You know?
Awesome.
So, yeah. That works kind of well. The thing is, like, you know, your team, like, freaking, they'll just run in there, they'll be like, oh, ghost, and then they'll try to grab it and jump out of it. Whatever. Or they'll be like, oh, I want to go downstairs, so they'll blow up their own ghost. Idiots, dude. Like, what are you doing? Spent so long to get that in there. Even worse is like, another thing I do on that in a similar way is grab the Banshee, and sometimes I can do both, but grab the Banshee and just bring it up, fly in down through the center of the top hole, right? And then just cruise it up towards the elevator. And if you get it just, if you push it too far, it gets, you hop out, right? And then you melee it up as close to the elevator as possible without it getting lifted up and pushed back. Right. There's like a little, there's like a sweet spot you can get there where it's right up next to it and it doesn't get pushed back. And if you do that, you block the elevator. They can't, they go up the elevator and they get stuck and they can't get out. So
unless they throw a grenade and blow up the Banshee.
Yeah, and the problem is, your team does that. Because they're freaking idiots. That happens all the time. And I'll be like, okay, note to team, the teleporter is blocked. Do not go up the teleporter. You will get stuck, and I will have to kill you.
Yeah, it's the cardinal rule of matchmaking is that your teammates will never, ever hear what you say. No matter how important it is.
Freaking, they're like, shut up, I'm pulling noobs. Good. Anyway, you know, is kind of cool what they were saying earlier about the brute shop being kind of like a rocket launcher, because that's like so true in the general base area, is you can just do some major damage with that at mid range because you have a nice angle going on there, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
If you can get good at balancing it, you can do a lot of splash damage. You know, that'd be a lot harder to do with a rocket. You can sort of bounce it off the ground into the air. So it hits a whole bunch of people all in a little cluster.
Yeah, huh. I think that's the key to the brute shot, is like being able to bounce it well, because it's kind of like you know, throwing a basketball. It's much easier if you can learn to bounce it off the backboard well, than to try to get a swish every time. You know, in the same way, if you can, you know, learn to bounce a brute shot well, and you can also get the get it to where when it bounces, it explodes in midair. And otherwise, if you miss someone, it just goes flying off into somewhere. So if you can get that bounce right, then you can kind of use that as a timed grenade to where it's going to explode at a certain spot that you can predict. So
yeah, like I do that so much, like it's just a reflex now. If I have a brute shot and I see somebody coming, I aim at the ground. I don't aim at them.
Good deal. Well, that works. You know, a lot of times I have trouble with the melee in the brute shot because it just like flies right past them a lot of times. I think maybe it's just like a more narrow melee range, yeah. Even though it's more powerful. Do you have the same thing?
Just a little bit strong, I think. You move a little bit farther than you do with most weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I always go flying off past them and then just get melee in the back of the head or something. And I'm like, I thought they improved the brute shot, man. This kind of freaking sucks here.
Fly right. Wait, stay there. I'm coming back. I'm going to hit you.
Yeah. Hang on. Don't hit me yet. No. Come on. Be nice. Anyway. Yeah, so that brings us to the end of this episode. As you have heard, we skipped past a lot of tips, because guess what? We were running into a lot of crappy tips. So,
put it bluntly.
If you don't want that to happen, send in better tips. Of course, we may have skipped past some that were actually good and shot ourselves in the foot, but whatever.
So if they were good, sorry. Keep sending them in.
Terribly sorry. Well, tune in next week for the Customs and Call-In Show, where we read off some customs, people send in some custom games, and we play back listener voicemails for the month, of which there are plenty. Also, we tell you some tales from the foxhole that people send in.
Fun stuff right there. You can send in your tips, strategies, custom games, web resources, news, Halo 3 wish lists, and tales from the foxhole to podtacular@gmail.com. We actually ask for different stuff every week, so you can check it out and send it in at thenewpodtacular.com.
Yeah. Also, the clearer your submitted tips are, the less they'll be changed. Please, guys, oh man, don't use like internet slang and like no capitalization, number letters, you know, freaking weird acronyms and misspellings. Man, spell check, come on.
Honestly.
It's not that tough, man. And please don't send stuff we've already covered if you can help it. I know, you know, not everybody's listened to all 58 of our episodes here, so.
And even if you have, you probably don't remember every last tip that was ever mentioned.
Yeah, but just, you know.
If you do, I think you need to see a doctor.
Really? Yeah. Donate your brain to research there. Well, yeah, you can also call our listener voicemail line, guys, at 206-888-HALO, and, you know, talk back, tell us what you think, or just give us some tips, whatever you want to leave, as long as it's good, and it's not more than 3 minutes long, don't tell us your life story, then we may put it on the show.
Yeah. And massive thanks to Cyclonic, our new audio editor and host of Hey Lounge podcast at freewebs.com/HeyLounge.
Yeah. And shoutouts to XBS13 from the Mafia Inc. podcast, who's at mafiainkmag.blogspot.com. Also to Stubby Planet. So that's it, guys. Until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
And I'm Wally Jeffers.
And we also had Hungry Wexican on. He had a jam, but yeah, thanks to him for being on. Right on, guys. Keep on fragging trucks.
With little trucks in the frags.
All right, later, guys.
There's only one thing left to say.